It's 7:43 on this West Virginia morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Every year around this time, people in the region get outside to check out the bald eagles that call West Virginia home.
I don't know how many people I've seen turn into bird watchers just looking at a bald eagle. Their mouth drops open and they think, wow, there's a lot of stuff out here I need to get to know. And it's in their backyard.
We'll visit with the eagles today. This is West Virginia Morning. I'm Teresa Wills. Dozens of people gathered in the New River Gorge over the weekend to participate in the annual Spring Eagle Survey. Roxy Todd was there as 35 eagles were spotted.
So my first stop is right off Route 20 outside Hinton at the Brooks Overlook, where there's a pair of bald eagles that are sitting on at least one bald eagle egg.
Last year they had two chicks that were successfully fledged. So at least we have one now coming up, hopefully, if nothing goes wrong.
This is Wendy Peroni, executive director of Three Rivers Avian Center. She and her husband have been watching this eagle nest for years.
Take a look at the scope there. We've got focused right down on the bald eagle nest there. Just a little bit ago, we had the male come in and the female flew out, and he's nestled down on at least one egg. We were able to see at least one egg. So that's the male that's on there right now.
That's so cool.
Can you see it?
Yeah. Peroni says this is the fourth pair of eagles to use this nest in the past decade.
So they take turns and the male also watches the egg?
Yeah, they do. The female does most of the incubation, but he relieves her and lets her go, you know, take a little bit of time off every now and then, go get a bath or eat or whatever,
Since 1981, more eagles have been spotted every year in this part of West Virginia. And even more remarkable, many of them are nesting here. This is mostly due to fewer pesticides, like DDT, in the environment, says Jim Phillips, the volunteer organizer of this event.
In the 1970s, we didn't see any bald eagles.
The number of people who travel to the gorge for this event is also increasing. Pipestem State Park featured several eagle-themed educational events, marketing this as Eagle Weekend for the influx of tourists.
Well, I like to look at the eagle because I think it's majestic and it's grandeur, and so I think the bald eagle is just beautiful.
Barbara Coster, who traveled from Kanawha County, saw several eagles, including one that dove into the New River to catch a fish.
I don't know how many people I've seen turn into bird watchers just looking at a bald eagle. Their mouth drops open and they think, wow, there's a lot of stuff out here I need to get to know. And it's in their backyard.
Philip says 35 eagles were spotted on Saturday. And although it wasn't the highest number on record, the high waters from recent rains likely drove many of the birds to the forest to seek shelter and food. For West Virginia Public Broadcasting, I'm Roxy Todd in Summers County.
In rural parts of the Ohio Valley, qualified therapists are sometimes hours away from people who need help. That's a problem in cases of sexual assault and domestic abuse, when such services can be a lifeline. Mary Meehan visited a rural clinic in Wyoming that's using telemedicine to connect with survivors of sexual assault.
Just like in the Ohio Valley, geography complicates treating sexual abuse and domestic violence in rural Wyoming. University of Wyoming psychology professor Matt Gray explains that there is not much between his office in Laramie and his clients in Gillette.
Yeah, it's vast, unimpacted, wide sweeping plains, and lots of antelope.
Gray, by the way, is the encouraging kind of guy who says, "That's a great question," and sounds genuinely sincere. 10 years ago, the question he faced was how to provide therapy across the high plains. The solution? Encrypted computers make the connection. Graduate students provide specialized trauma care with the goal of helping survivors define themselves outside of the abuse.
Because when somebody's so beat down and when all of their focus and all of their peers or relatives' focus is on this relationship, is on staying and leaving, it's a lot of pressure, and this becomes the totality of the person.
Grace says using graduate students is key. It keeps costs down and ensures the quality of care. Students apply to the program from across the country. Student Kendall Binion from Georgia gets tears in her eyes as she talks about one woman who made a lasting impression.
I have one client in particular who went 40 years without telling anyone what happened because there wasn't the services to provide any help for her.
Stephanie Amaya from Los Angeles is also on the current team. She says she's been surprised at the strength of a connection shared via pixels on a screen.
But I found that human connection is transcendent. It doesn't depend on proximity. It depends on empathy and a willingness to share and to open up and to support someone who needs that support.
Gray's research shows telehealth is helping survivors heal, but funding remains a challenge. Most available grant money is tied to innovative uses of technology. Less is available to cover actual treatment costs.
But there's no shortage of rural populations that could benefit from this.
Eileen Rechtenwald is the executive director of the Kentucky Association of Sexual Assault Programs. She says telehealth could work in Kentucky. She says younger people especially are ready to access services in new ways.
They will access services via chat or internet, and sometimes, especially in Kentucky, that's not really available.
Margie McWilliams is executive director of the Gillette Abuse Refuge Foundation, which uses the telehealth clinic. She says something else is happening. It's a cultural shift that is both quiet and broad. About 60 people turned out in Gillette for a women's march in January. McWilliams and her coworker Shauna McDonald say the show of support matters.
To me, that was a big thing that's changed. We've never had that many people involved before. And of course, we got the trucks that drove by and, you know,
flipping people off
and, you know, we've had the negative part of it too, but it was cool because nobody cared. We were just there for a reason. And we have seen an increase in our services and sexual assault victims are coming in.
The march drew people from even more rural parts of the state. Two moms drove from the next town over, Sheridan. It's 104 miles one way. For the Ohio Valley Resource, I'm Mary Meehan.
This story was supported by the Solutions Journalism Network. The Ohio Valley Resource is made possible by the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and West Virginia Public Broadcasting. West Virginia Morning is a production of West Virginia Public Broadcasting, which is solely responsible for its content. You can keep up with the latest West Virginia news throughout the day on our website, wvpublic.org. Support for our news bureaus comes from West Virginia University, Concord University, and Shepherd University. Our producer is Glennis Board. I'm Teresa Wills. Support for West Virginia Public Broadcasting is provided by Marshall Health, the medical practice of the Marshall University Joan C. Edwards School of Medicine, providing primary and specialty health care to West Virginians. More at marshallhealth.org.